Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Hi there. Thanks for joining me. On this show, we'll be putting it all together, a compilation, if you will. All the experience you've acquired, the challenges you've overcome, the tests you've failed, and the struggles you've emerged victorious. We're pulling them all together. It's time to share your knowledge as you apply what you've learned. That's right, it wasn't all for nothing. Each time you heard no and persevered to get the yes, you learned a valuable lesson. These lessons together shaped who you are today, and that, my friend, needs to be shared with others. We are all on our own journey, traveling at our own pace. There are people all around us, including us, that have something to teach and a valuable impact to make. Are you ready to tap in and share the lifelong knowledge you've acquired? I love a different perspective. Just a slight twist can cause you to look at a situation with fresh, unfiltered eyes. Failures are valuable lessons. Not something you seek out, but something you can definitely learn from that could alter your course in a positive and profound way. That's something to be thankful for. That's a new perspective. Typically, failures are something to be ashamed of, to hide from, and to cover up. Taking the emotional baggage and pushing it deep down, disassociating ourselves with the event, and denying our role. Not only is there no lesson to be learned from that approach, but it's actually counterproductive, delivering even more damage. Harvey McKay shares more on this introduction to the way we think in his article, Change Your Perspective, Change Your Life, that he wrote for bizjournal.com. Perspectives have many definitions, such as the ability to understand what is important and what isn't, and the capacity to view things in their true relationship or relative importance. Consider this excellent example of how different people view the same subject in this ancient fable. Four blind men were asked to examine an elephant and to describe its appearance. The first blind man felt the elephant's leg and declared that the creature was like a tree. The second blind man felt the elephant's enormous side and said that it was like a wall. The third blind man felt the tail and was positive that the elephant was like a rope. The fourth felt the tusk and likened it to a spear. Each man's notion of reality was limited by the number and kind of attributes he had been able to perceive. Four different perspectives, four different conclusions. None of them had enough information to arrive at the reasonable answer. Acting on limited information is one of the biggest mistakes we can make. Take, for example, the golf ball. For years, golf balls were smooth like orbs that were used by serious golfers. But in one foursome, a young golfer who couldn't afford to replace the golf balls when they got a little beat up kept playing with them long after his companions would have discarded them. The others noticed that even though his skills were no match for theirs, his drives always flew further and more accurately. From their perspectives, that should not have happened given their superior experience. Their only explanation could be the nicks and dings on the golf ball. You won't find a smooth golf ball in any pro shop today. In fact, modern golf balls have as many as 450 dimples. The rough spots enhance the ball's accuracy and distance. Taking the next step, I encourage you to take advantage of the rough spots you encounter, for they can indeed sharpen your perspective as well as your performance. Those rough spots often force us to look at other options, to see things from another perspective. They upset the status quo. They challenge our tunnel vision and open new doors and windows. In many ways, they are a blessing in disguise. As hard as that may be to believe, trust me, I've had to revise my perspective many times over my lifetime. It got easier every time as I realized that what I was doing wasn't working, and maybe I needed to adjust my approach. When I widened my perspective, solutions seemed to fall into place. Professional development coach Rich Gee offers two exercises to get started on the next step in your life or career. What I like about this advice is that it encourages you to get a fresh perspective on your situation. First, he says, explain where you are right now compared to where you were 5 years ago. Tell your past self what to expect, both good and bad. He says this will help you gain insight into what you could have done differently that may help you influence your future decisions. Looking back, you will realize that you can survive just about anything that comes your way. Next, look into your future. Imagine that you are talking to a version of yourself 5 years from now. Think about where you want to be and what advice you might give yourself. This exercise will help you form a positive vision to work toward a new perspective. George Bernard Shaw, the famous Irish-born playwright and critic, was a popular worldwide seer in the early 20th century. Here are some of his views of the necessity for a man to have perspective on his life. If a man sees with only one eye, the world appears flat to him. Objects and people become mere two-dimensional images, and he cannot discern any meaning in life beyond the crassness of superficial existence. If he uses both eyes, he gains perspective and can perceive a third dimension of depth. Ideas and activities assume relative importance and value, and he understands that there is no more than one way of living. How deep his understanding and how acute his perception then, if he sees through four or six or seven different eyes, each distinct and yet each focused on the same situation and the same conflict. McKay's moral? When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at often change. For me, perspective has definitely come with age. I thought maybe I had finally reached a maturity level where everything wasn't always about me trying to get somewhere and finally able to relax in my own skin. Relaxing means I had more time to notice the world around me. But I also believe it's the acquired knowledge of experience. Whether intentional or not, all these experiences are being indexed, stored, and organized, directly affecting my awareness. Whatever the reason, I'm grateful. I used to just tuck my head down and run full throttle toward a challenge, trusting in my drive and desire to work everything out. Yep, naive. I'm actually surprised I don't have more bumps and bruises and permanent scars. Once I had my first revelation, a shift in my thinking that elicited an aha moment, I wanted more. I loved the freedom this new perspective brought, and I wanted to challenge everything else I had ever thought. There was no way I could have done this level of discovery on my own. I had to seek out support and then listen to new ideas. Most importantly, be willing to accept a new way of thinking. Now, no matter where you are on your journey, this show is all about share, learn, and grow. So I found some lessons you might not have experienced yet. So for you, this is the gift of knowledge. And for some of you, these might be revelations since you've lived it, but didn't know you were in the midst of a learning experience. So for you, this is the gift of enlightenment. Miles Rote shared 30 life-changing lessons adventure has taught me in an article he wrote for under30experiences.com. Number one, when you're done with an experience, compost it. Don't throw it out. Everything you experience can be used to grow something fruitful in the future if you put it in the right bin. If you go through something challenging, there are valuable lessons to be learned. Don't toss out those experiences by blocking out the memories. compost them in order to grow something better in the future. Number two, obstacles aren't roadblocks, they're road signs. Usually, what you're avoiding or what is holding you back is exactly what you need to do. Follow and punch through obstacles to get to your destination. They're leading the way. Number three, adventure is the greatest path to knowledge and happiness. You can read all the knowledge you want from books, but there is no better way to learn than by doing. Someone ever gives you advice about love? Odds are you didn't listen. You had to go through the experience yourself to truly learn the lesson. By always adventuring, you're setting yourself on a course to constantly learn new things. It is in this space where happiness likes to hide. Number four, if you want better things to come into your life, you need to make space for them, or else there won't be anywhere for them to go. Much of life is like your luggage. If your luggage is full and you want to put stuff in it, you need to take things out first. I've learned the hard way that the things I want in life won't come into fruition if I don't give them space to grow. This means cutting out the things I no longer need and then being patient with this new space for the other things to come in. Number five. Fear is a superpower encrypted by biological predispositions. Crack the code to understanding fear, and it can be your greatest ally. We are hardwired with fear to protect ourselves from danger despite a world that is safer than it ever has been in history. Instead of irrational fears keeping you from doing things in life, use them as motivation to tackle larger obstacles. Fear has the power to help you do things you never thought were possible. Number six, let your curiosity soar. Never stop questioning things that don't make sense. Ideas are meant to be tested, probed, and prodded. When you settle for face value, you miss the hidden messages and the fantastical journeys you can have when you let your mind wander and your curiosity soar. Number seven, life, good or bad, isn't happening to you, it's happening for you. This may be one of the greatest lessons, and you couldn't have truly understood it unless you'd thrown yourself into the wolves of adventure. The fact that you were gifted the opportunity to experience life is enough. Whether your mood lands on the spectrum of good or bad doesn't really matter, since it's part of the whole package. Number eight, nobody has all the answers, but we can all learn from each other. Someone has done the research, someone has already walked a mile in those shoes, and another person has already picked themselves up from a failed attempt at the same challenge. Keep searching, connecting with others, and learning from the knowledge that is all around you. Number nine, spend more money on experiences than possessions. A life of adventure isn't always cheap, but cutting out buying unnecessary things, and you'll have a lot more to invest in experiences. Name brand clothes and accessories will come and go. Taking a trip to Machu Picchu will last forever. Number 10, no matter where you go on Earth, people are the same. It's incredible to travel to places around the world and meet people who remind you of your friends back home. More than anything, though, it is a reminder that no matter how different a culture may seem, the people within it are just like you and me. Don't be afraid of travel, immersing yourselves in different cultures, and connecting with the unknown. Number 11, the grass is never greener on the other side. However, you have the power of consciously adding filters to your life and make the green where you go pop. Instead of thinking your life will be better if you only had X or Y, try looking through a filter of gratitude at your own life and watch the brightness increase. Number 12, seek to be proven wrong, not right. By trying to find flaws in your opinions or perspectives of life, you will constantly be reworking your model of the world. Being open-minded is one of the greatest human superpowers, so don't go and waste it because your ego wants to be right. Besides, you will be correct far more often when you learn to seek to be wrong than those trying to justify their personal opinion. Number 13, the richer the experience, the more you will remember. By living a life full of valuable experiences, you will remember more. Plus, you'll feel as though you are living a long life. Since your interpretation of time is highly dependent upon your memories, by always injecting yourself into novel environments and experiencing new things, you will be extending your life. Number 14, critiquing art is subjective. Creating it is experiential. For optimal results, live the difference. It is easy to sit back and critique how others are living their lives or whether what they are creating is good or not. Your perspective is solely subjective, which is to say, it doesn't really matter what you think. Others will have different subjective opinions, so don't waste your time always giving yours. Instead, create for your own sake. Whether it's subjectively valued as good or bad, the value of creating it will be greater than making opinions about others. Number 15, the sky is not the limit. You may have heard, go do anything you want, the sky is the limit. But it's not. Your desire may be limitless, but there are limitations in timing that factor into everything you do. Big goals are great. Going for what you want, even better. Knowing your strengths and weaknesses, priceless. Number 16, when you achieve your dreams, you will inevitably say to yourself, now what? You won't reach a peak moment in your life and feel as though you've made it. You are human, which means you're highly adaptable to any situation, including happiness and success. Therefore, in the quest for happiness, don't forget to stop every once in a while and just be happy. It really is a journey. Number 17, questioning answers is more significant than answering them. Question everything, then seek the answers. Question those answers. Repeat. You have all the answers now? Well, then ask more questions. Number 18, if you can control your dreams, you can control time. We spend a third of our lives sleeping, where the passage of time moves far slower than in our waking state. If you can become lucid while you sleep, you can interface with an entirely different reality than you dictate. Learn how to consciously control your dreams, and you can live a second life. Number 19, everything doesn't happen for a reason, but there are reasons for everything. With everything you go through, you have the choice to make use of it or not. Transform hardships into the reason you won't do something again. You won't make the same mistakes twice if you can uncover the reason for the mistake in the first place. Learn and then let go so that you can move on with confidence. Number 20, how you eat determines how you think. Science is beginning to show us that we don't only think with our brains, but with our gut as well. There are more than 100 million neurons in your gut, more than in your spinal cord and your peripheral nervous system. Think about what you're eating to optimally think. 21, changing the shoes for your feet may be the best way to comfort your soul. If you feel like your life doesn't have purpose or meaning, alter your relationship with it. This may mean changing your career and going through challenges, but if you aren't changing your shoes on this adventure, the soles may wear out very quickly. Number 22, freedom exists as long as one is never imprisoned by its recognition. It's like trying to walk while chewing food instead of savoring the taste. Lose yourself amongst freedom. Don't attempt to define it. You will miss out on the best flavors. Number 23, to examine thoroughly, thoroughly examine your instruments of examination. A fish doesn't know how big its tank is relative to the size of the world. In order to properly measure it, the fish would have to be on the outside of the tank. We are inside of existence. To truly and properly measure it, we'd have to be outside of it. Therefore, be skeptical when people say they have all the answers. The truth is, they still don't know how to measure our universe since we're stuck inside of it. Which leads us to number 24. Since the mind cannot comprehend the size of our universe, there is no way to understand everything in it and how it's related. Use this concept to help you understand that every day is an opportunity to figure out more. Don't get comfortable with your level of understanding. To infinity and beyond. Number 25. Suffering is solely a product of expectation. Suffering is a result of thinking something is going to be one way and then it turns out to be another. By never expecting things to go a certain way, you will lessen the frequency of suffering. Expect nothing, and you can be prepared for anything. Sometimes easier said than done. I mean, we're human. When they can't be avoided, be aware of your expectations and explore the motivation behind them. Number 26. To achieve optimal output, receive appropriate input. The environment you surround yourself with is influencing who you are as a person. By consciously designing it, you can optimize your surroundings so that consequential influence reflects what you desire. Don't blindly consume, knowing that which you consume will ultimately affect your mood, direction, and overall outcome. Number 27. If you want to alter your mood, disrupt your consciousness. How you are feeling is largely determined by the brain pattern you are currently experiencing. The quickest route to changing your mood is disrupting this pattern. Exercise and deep breathing are two of the fastest methods. Reach out and connect with another person to share, learn, and grow. Number 28. True wisdom is accepting you know very little. We're just starting to uncover how our bodies work. Science is still considered new in the scheme of humanity. The truth is, if you were to have all the humanity's available knowledge memorized, you still wouldn't know much about the world because we still know very little. Wisdom is knowing and accepting this difficult fact. Number 29. Our biological software isn't equipped for the modern world. Our biology has been evolving for hundreds of thousands of years in a world that is very different from today. The software we are running is a version incompatible with modern technology. Keeping this in mind while we interface with today's world can help us avoid so many ruts of unhappiness or illness. Don't neglect what your biology is craving. Even if the modern world doesn't support it, seek it out for yourself. Number 30. You are your best teacher. When you're able to truly understand yourself, you will know better than anyone else in the world what you need. Sure, education is vital and there is so much to learn from others. But experiential knowledge trumps all other wisdom. Now, that was a pretty good list, and I'm sure it's conjuring up thoughts of your own. I'm going to share some of mine. A great work ethic is noble, but won't solve all the world's problems. You can't just put your head down and keep digging the ditch faster, putting in more hours and going deeper. You have to be strategic, and sometimes that comes with slowing down and reflecting on what you have and where you are. Don't be in such a rush to get somewhere. Grow up, get married, have kids, climb on top of the ladder in your career. Time flies, and if you get in a rush, you're propelled through the best parts. Slow down and enjoy. Love is your most rewarding asset. Being loved and loving others is essential to health and happiness. Don't isolate yourself thinking independence means you are rewarded for doing everything on your own. You need a consistent flow of love in your life. Serving others from a place of purpose and passion is the quickest way to unlock joy in your life. Nothing nourishes your soul more than being there for someone else in a true hour of need, financially, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Give from your heart when you see someone in need, and even if you don't see the need. Acknowledging someone is the only icebreaker you need. So why not keep all these revelations to yourself? And what do I mean by sharing? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Manon Rensma-Leonard explains why we are stronger by sharing. 5 reasons why it's important to share your story in an article for StrongerBySharing.com. Bursts of laughter, tears of joy, sobs of sadness, love, grief, anger, it's all a part of our story we call life. It's a journey, a quest to pursue happiness. There are ups and downs, highs and lows, for some more extreme than others, but either way, there are so many stories out there. Stories are worth telling. There is so much power in sharing our stories, but it can raise many questions. Is it sometimes difficult to tell our stories? To speak the words out loud? And does the world really need to hear about my experience? The answer is yes, and here are 5 reasons why. Find your voice. Sometimes you may feel like screaming your experiences off every mountaintop, but you don't know where to start climbing. It can be overwhelming to share personal stories with others, but if you are looking to communicate a message, you will find your voice, something you stand for. Especially when you start writing about experiences you have encountered, you will notice that the more you write about it, the more comfortable and impactful you can bring the topic to others. By sharing your experience more and more, you will not only create more impact, but it could help you feel empowered too. When you find your voice by sharing, you can be an ambassador of your life circumstances instead of a victim. You can show the world life is worth fighting for, even though it's hard, because we're not alone. Empower others. If you can empower yourself by finding your voice, imagine what you can do for others. The International Journal of Therapy and Rehabilitation reported research they did on psychosocial in-person support groups for stroke survivors in the acute phase of rehabilitation. Participants could discuss the impact of their stroke, rehabilitation progress, and their views on the future. The research could not specifically prove mood improvements, but participants did rate the group to be helpful for recovery. Think about it. Would it not be great to find others in similar predicaments and help them? Even though previously mentioned research could not prove significant mood improvement, let me tell you Manon's story. I was scared. Afraid people would judge me for what I had to say about losing a parent to brain cancer, so I decided to throw small chapters of my story on an online blog. I thought a more anonymous environment would help me feel more secure, and it did. Soon after posting a few blogs, I received a message from a mother in Australia. She had brain cancer and an 11-year-old son. Never had she had the courage to talk to him about her illness because she thought he might not understand. But after reading about my experience, she told me she was confident he could be more involved. Where I felt I had missed out on valuable time with my mother, in a way I had given this young child an opportunity not to ever feel that way. Create hope. Hope, something most people seem to crave without even realizing. Light at the end of the tunnel, something to fight for. In 1989, the Oncology Nursing Forum researched the relationship between the level of hope and the level of coping responses in cancer patients. The study significantly proved that more hope a patient had, the higher the level of coping was. Hope is what keeps us going. And that mother in Australia not only made me believe I had empowered her, she made me believe I had created hope. And she had created hope, hope inside of me, that by sharing my story, I could help others understand. I did not have to be afraid to share anymore, because no negative response could be taken away from the fact that I had already helped one person, or two, a mother and son. That was all it took. It is the small differences in the world that can be of enormous impact. Remember it forever. More from Manon's story. When I started writing about losing my mother to brain cancer, my number one reason was to never forget. What ultimately would become my book was not ready to be read by anyone else but me. But it indeed accomplished what I wanted to accomplish. For me, it was a tool to remember my mother forever and everything we had been through. It helped me remember the way she made me feel, how she looked at me, the sound of her laugh, the sparkle in her eyes. By writing down my own experience, I knew it would always be there for me to read. When my story turned into a book, it became even more real. It was like my mother's memory came back to life. People who had never had the pleasure of being in the same room with her were now talking about her again. Not all our stories have to be sad or depressing. Sometimes we need to share all the good that life has to offer. The great stories, the ones that make people smile or inspire to take action and follow our wildest dreams. When I traveled around the globe searching for peace of mind, it was the greatest adventure I could have ever wished for. I kept a journal of all my thoughts, places I had visited, and people I had met. Never would any of it be forgotten. Emotional healing. In the Oxford Handbook of Positive Psychology, I found an article that stated the precise mechanisms through which a narrative heals are still unrealized. And then I read a much older article written over a decade earlier in the Journal of Poetry Therapy, which said, anyone who has experienced the intensely solacing, creative powers of reflective writing would agree that indeed, writing does heal. Even though the mechanisms of emotional healing through narrative are mysterious ones, whether you write your story or you speak about it, I believe it can be a significant influence on your emotional healing. I felt so much strength when I realized I was not alone in the things I had seen and experienced, and even more emotional strength when I saw I had impacted others. We get so rooted into one way of thinking that just a slight shift can really open our doors to new ideas, and through new ideas, new learning and growth. So it is important to challenge things that you've thought your whole life. Remember the story about the blind men. I mean, with just a little bit of information, they came to a conclusion, but they didn't have all the information. With those conclusions, sometimes we run with them and that's it. That's it for life. That's your perspective. And that's how you base everything else. But what if you would have felt the whole elephant? Maybe the next time you are wondering that, you could use that as a little trigger reminder. Did I feel the whole elephant? Usually, you're at a point to accept a new idea or new perspective when you've hit a wall. You know, something that you're currently doing or thinking isn't working. Finally, you're at the end of your rope and you're ready to open up your mind and try it another way. But why do you gotta wait that long? What if you just are sitting around thinking, or better yet, talking with other people and listening for their ideas and their perspectives? That might conjure up some differing opinions that you have. So a great chance to ask more questions. Hey, why do you believe that? Or where did you get that information? What have you read? Who else have you spoken to? If we just sit with our own ideas in isolation, we never will recognize a need for change. If we don't tap into curiosity, meaning we want to know more, we want to uncover new ideas, we want to hear from others, then we will stay stuck. What about some of those life-changing lessons learned through adventure? First, you got to take the adventure to learn the lesson, stepping out of your comfort zone and taking a risk, a leap of faith, trying something new, picking up a new hobby, exercising a new idea, getting with a new group can really open up your opportunities for experience. You don't have to travel the world, go to the far ends in order to have a really meaningful experience. You just have to be willing to take a chance. I love let your curiosity soar. Never stop questioning things that don't make sense. Ideas are meant to be tested, probed, and prodded. When you settle for face value, you miss the hidden messages and the fantastical journeys you can have when you let your mind wander and your curiosity soar. Then I shared some of mine with you. What about yours? What type of lessons have you learned through your own adventures that you could share with someone else? Let's say you are writing a letter to your younger self, preparing them for what they will experience on their journey. What would you say? What would you highlight? What would you bring into focus? And then, of course, we talked about one of my personal favorites, sharing. As you know, I run several support groups in the area, and it's just the power about getting people together and allowing them to share and encourage each other. We're all on our own journeys, running at our different paces, experiencing things in different orders, and it's so important to get together and connect in a meaningful way. You know, we have a lot of surface level conversations. Hi, how are you? How's the weather? How are the kids? But we really don't dig into the details, the goals, the struggles, the challenges, the successes, the failures, the desires. When we connect on this level, we share something far greater than just an acquaintance level conversation. Judith E. Glasser is an organizational anthropologist. She is one of the most pioneering and innovative change agents, consultants, executive coaches. Unfortunately, she passed away, but her work will live forever. If you've never checked into some of her stuff, it's so important to evaluate your conversations to learn how you can make them mutually beneficial. She suggests that you tap into conversational intelligence, a framework for knowing which conversations trigger different brain activities for constructive communication. So, to ensure you are engaging in co-creating conversations, here are four tips to apply. When you meet someone new, say, "I'm glad to meet you," or "You look familiar." Our brains are designed to be social. The need to belong is more powerful than the need for safety. Feeling rejected activates our fear networks and increases the level of cortisol, which moves us into protective behaviors. A sense of inclusion reduces protective cortisol levels while increasing oxytocin and promoting bonding. When you brainstorm with a diverse group, say, "Thank you. That's a great point." Make sure to appreciate others' contributions. Comment on how their idea has helped you and let them know how much you appreciate their thinking. Appreciation reshapes our neural networks, activating a larger framework of neurons in our brain that enables higher levels of seeing, hearing, and thinking, broader and bigger. When you want to persuade someone, say nothing at first. Put yourself in your listener's shoes. Empathy activates the mirror neuron network located in the prefrontal cortex, our executive brain. When we mirror each other, we can see and experience the world through each other's eyes. This activates higher oxytocin production, which facilitates bonding, collaboration, and co-creation, and elevates trust and openness. we become comfortable sharing what really is on our minds. When you need to solve a difficult problem, say, "Tell me your thoughts," and listen to connect. When we are uncertain, both the distrust and trust networks are activated at the same time. We more easily fall into groupthink to be safe in the crowd, or we close up for fear we will look weak. Make it safe to be transparent about what you're uncertain about. Don't penalize those who speak up. Encourage them to share. Remember, conversational intelligence helps you become smarter at navigating your social highway. It's not about how smart you are, but how open you are to learning effective conversational rituals that prime the brain for trust, partnership, and mutual success. If you want to share Encouragementology with a friend who needs to know they are not alone in this journey of self-discovery, you can visit encouragementology.com or anywhere you stream your content to receive this episode and all others. Follow us on Facebook for additional encouragement throughout the week. So I challenge you, be in constant pursuit of knowledge. Look deeper at your struggles to find a new perspective and the lesson you will add to your experience bank. Use this learning to tell your story and impact others as you share what you've learned. I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges. I stumbled through until the path was clear. That's when I found you.